Good evening, everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight. We are so thankful to be here with your family, the family of God, those redeemed by the blood of your Son. Father, your own special people gathered and worship and praise of you. Father, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for your saving grace in our life that brings us together. Father, help us in this time tonight. Father, have your word through your Holy Spirit be enlivened to us. Father, help us learn about you. Help us learn about your plan. Help us learn about ourselves. Help us learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I guess we should start with an introduction to what we're doing tonight, to our Sunday night Old Testament preaching and teaching. So if you're looking for a title for those who need such a thing, I think that would be it, an introduction to Sunday night Old Testament preaching and teaching. So I think we've explained this, but for everyone's benefit, we have a desire in our church to have more men trained up in leading Bible study and everything that brings to them, to learn how to study the Word and to learn how to deliver that Word, what they learn to other people. And the way that we thought makes the most sense to do that is to have it be done during our Saturday and Wednesday men's and women's Bible study. Then gets to the issue of that's what I've primarily been doing, and it is of benefit to me, and it is of benefit to all of us by extension to have me continue to be studying the Word in that manner, and the studying it in order to learn it and preach it, which is different, or teach it, which is different than just reading it devotionally or in any other way. So we thought the best way to do that is to take the time that we currently devote to what we have called Sunday night teaching time, is to devote it to a time of preaching and teaching. So that is what will be happening on the majority of Sunday nights from now on, is we will have a time of preaching and teaching during this half hour. And the intention is to have it still be around a half hour. I don't know what a half an hour looks like yet. So we will see how that goes, at least tonight. So that brings up the question. Our congregation is very used to having a time of questions and testimonies. We've done that lots, and I'm sure we'll figure that out somehow. It's not going to be as frequently as it was in the past, obviously, but I'm sure we will figure out a way that there are still times in our assembled time to have a time of questions. I think that has been very good for us over the life of this church. So what have we been doing in our men's and women's Bible studies? Primarily for the last while now, we have been doing an Old Testament survey. And we started that in December, on December 5th of 2015. That's when we actually started that. That probably coincides with when we ended our study of Ephesians. Since March of 2016, March of last year, we did an overview of the Old Testament first, and then since then we have been doing a study of Genesis. So my challenge tonight is to kind of summarize 9 months worth of teaching into now 23 and a half minutes, so we'll see how that goes. So why have we been doing this? Why are we looking at the Old Testament? The answer to that, I guess, is very simple. We want to better understand the Old Testament. We want to learn how to read the Old Testament. The idea of anything from the shepherds of the church to the church is to equip you to know God, to equip you to worship God, to equip you to tell others about God. So we want to help. The real purpose of this is to help you learn how to read, learn how to study, and how to learn how to understand the Old Testament. That has been the purpose of us doing this from the beginning, and that is going to continue in this time. Why would we want to better understand the Old Testament? Why would we want to do that? And I'll follow that up with another question. Isn't the New Testament enough for us to know? I mean, it's got everything we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's got the biographies of Christ. It's got the history of the early church after Christ's death and ascension into heaven. It's got the epistles, that the letters that give us all the theological details of Jesus' teaching, and it gives us theological details on the person and work of Christ. Isn't that enough? Can't we just study that and have that be adequate for our knowledge as Christians? So one thing I'd like to do is address that question primarily tonight. So in order to do that, we're going to take a walk through some scriptures. So I'd like you to start by turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 14. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. Did I say 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. So Paul writes, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now let's look at that in more detail. This is the Apostle Paul writing, obviously. It's Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy is another minister of the gospel. He is a protege of Paul, if you would like to use that term. Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. This man is probably right now, as Paul writes this, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He is a younger man than Paul. I don't know how old Paul was when he died. This letter was written very near the end of Paul's life. So it was probably written is somewhere around the year 60 to 65 AD. If you have a MacArthur Study Bible, you can probably date it a little more accurately than that. I didn't look it up, but that's roughly when this letter was written. Timothy's younger than Paul. I don't know an exact dating of his age at this time, but let's say it's around 40 years old. He was definitely younger than Paul. So Paul says to Timothy, "Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them." Timothy learned these things from his mother and his grandmother, who were Jews who have been converted to Christianity. Timothy was a Jew by his mother's lineage. His father was a non-Jew. And so he had learned of Christianity. He had learned the gospel through his mother and his grandmother. And that from childhood, verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." So from childhood, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, Paul says. So if you take, if you assume this is roughly the year 40, 60, and Timothy's roughly 40 years old, you backdate that, you're down possibly even still in the lifetime of Jesus, that he had started learning from his grandmother and his mother. And So what had they taught him? They had taught him the Holy Scriptures. Now, if this is dated to either before or shortly after Jesus' death when he is being taught this, he is quite obviously not being taught the New Testament Scriptures. He is being taught the old, what we call the Old Testament Scriptures. That is what he has been taught, and that is what Paul is referring to in verse 15. That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, the front part of our book. The back part of our book did not exist at this point when Timothy's mother and grandmother were teaching him the way. The Gospels hadn't been written yet. None of Paul's letters had been written when Timothy was a child. Peter, certainly John, didn't write until possibly the year 90. So when Paul refers to the Holy Scriptures, he is referring exclusively in this use of it to the Old Testament Scriptures. And what does he say about those Scriptures in verse 15? They are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So, is it important for us to know these Scriptures, the Old Testament? Paul says these Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, the front of our book, are able to make us wise for salvation. Wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. So I would assert they are very important and are very useful in our lives and useful in the lives of our children. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture here. Now, it's possible in the use of that phrase that Paul is including the New Testament Scriptures that have been written when he says all Scripture. Paul certainly knew that, had a knowledge that his writings were holy writ by God. This was not something that he was not unaware of. In the lifetime of the apostles, they knew that they were writing, in certain of their writings, more Scripture. Peter refers to Paul's writings as Scripture. He certainly knew his own writing was Scripture. And it's Paul knew that his own writings were Scripture. And by this time, we probably had at least two of the four Gospels committed to written form by this time. So the New Testament did exist, but certainly in using the phrase some of the New Testament exists, but certainly in using the phrase all Scripture, he's also including the Old Testament Scriptures in that. And what does he say about them? They are given by inspiration of God. Literally in Greek, God breathed. God breathed. Spirit breathed. They are given to us by God, the Old Testament Scriptures. And they are profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So in our equipping, in our teaching, in our reproving, in our correcting, and in our instruction, the Old Testament Scriptures are necessary for us to be thoroughly equipped. They are necessary for that. We cannot just focus on the New Testament for ourselves or for our disciples or for our children. It is necessary that we know the Old Testament Scriptures, that we all may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is what Paul... So Paul is directly referring to the necessity and the utility of the Old Testament Scriptures in the life of a believer. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be in verses, starting in verse 3. So Paul writes this, For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Two uses of the word the Scriptures in this sentence. What is Paul referring to? Again, at this point, the New Testament Scriptures aren't written. He's writing it just now. He's not referring to what he's writing right now. When this letter was written, there was probably very, very little of what we know as the First Testament Scripture. There is no question that he is referring to the Old Testament when he uses that word, the Scripture, in this sentence. Not only that, what does he say about the Scripture? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. So these Scriptures that he's referring to, the Old Testament Scriptures, testified that Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, died for our sins. That had already been written. And that he was buried, Christ, and that he rose again on the third day. What? According to the Scriptures. That Jesus was going to rise again was written in the Scriptures and testified to in the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures. Again, the knowledge of these Scriptures, which Paul had, which he is communicating to the Corinthians, communicating to us, they are very valuable for us. Very, very valuable. Inside these Scriptures, it foretold. It's more than foretold. God uses the Scripture to bring His will to come true. It told us about the Christ dying for our sins and being raised from the dead. All in the Old Testament Scriptures. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 16. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt." Genesis and Exodus. Right there. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers, Genesis, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, Exodus. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it, Exodus. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness, Numbers. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment, Joshua. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years. Judges. Until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. First Samuel. And also, when he had removed him, he raised for them up David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." 2 Samuel, better known as Samuel. We know him as 1 and 2 Samuel. When it was originally given, there was no separation between 1 and 2 Samuel. Paul, in his presentation to, where is he here? Antioch, I believe. In his presentation to them, uses an Old Testament survey for his preaching of the gospel. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Samuel. All right there. Go down to verse 29. Now when he had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, those who killed Jesus, had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, Jesus. They took him, Jesus, down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. All that was written concerning him. All that was written, the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, when it was all done, when it was all complete, when all the prophecy of the Christ was fulfilled, by the actions, by Christ, and by the actions of the men who murdered him, he was taken down from the tree. It was written in the Old Testament scriptures. We need these scriptures. We should want these scriptures to fully understand. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 17. Starting in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as was his custom, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." What did he do? He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. This is when he's first ministering in Thessalonica. There are no Scriptures. There are no New Testament Scriptures probably written at this time. There is the Gospel. There is the Gospel of Jesus Christ going out of telling of his life and his death and resurrection. But everything that happened with the Christ was foretold in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. He reasoned with them from them, explaining and demonstrating from the Scriptures that Christ had to suffer and die again and rise from the dead. Isaiah 53, Psalm 16, all contained in the Scriptures. It is important for us to know the Old Testament Scriptures. Paul used it extensively to proclaim Christ. The Christ, by the way, the Christ, if you look in verse, I think it's in verse 3. This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. The Christ, the anointed one. The one that these people being Jews knew was coming from the Scriptures, expected to come from the Scriptures, proving from the Scriptures, all the Old Testament Scriptures, that Jesus is this Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Paul does another Old Testament survey there. He walks them through the Old Testament, not as big a picture of the Old Testament, but showing them that Jesus was the Christ. And you skip ahead, now he goes through some of the sinfulness that Israel exhibited in the wilderness. And in verse 11 he writes, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come." They were written. What does he mean by that? He's referring to the Scriptures. Specifically, Exodus, I believe, in this example. He's referring specifically to Exodus, those words given by Moses that they all recognized as Scripture. That's who he's referring to. Jesus is using the Scripture. Now, what does he say about Paul? What does Paul say about these Scriptures? They were written for what? For our admonition. The Old Testament Scriptures were written for our admonition. What does admonition mean? Warning. Part of the purpose of the Old Testament Scriptures, they are written for our. Who's our? Us, Christians, believers, those who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. They're written for our admonition, our warning. That was the purpose of them. These things were written for our admonition. So this actually raises the stakes on the value or the importance of the Old Testament Scriptures for us. Yes, they tell us, they give us everything we need to be saved. They instruct us, train us in righteousness. But the whole purpose of them being written actually was for our admonition. The New Testament believer, those in the church age, those who came after the Messiah had died and been raised and ascended, after the Holy Spirit had come and indwelt the church, they are written for our warning, our admonition. All these scriptures are for us. Romans chapter 15. In verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we may, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. These things that were written before, what is he referring to? The Old Testament Scriptures. Why were they written? For our learning. For our learning. Who's he referring? Who's he writing to? The church that is at Rome. He's writing to believers. And what does he say? The things that were written before were written for our learning. The Old Testament Scriptures are for our learning. It is important that we understand, that we know the Old Testament Scriptures. It is important for us sitting here in this room today and all of God's people all around the globe that we know the Old Testament Scriptures. They are valuable for us. They are insightful for us. When the writer of Hebrews wrote the Word of God, when he wrote about the Word of God, let me look it up in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 4, not Hebrews 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is very, very likely what he meant when he was referring to the Word of God was the Old Testament Scriptures. It discerns our hearts. It cuts us to the bone and marrow. It reveals our hearts to us. It reveals our thoughts to us. It is the Old Testament Scriptures. So these Scriptures are valuable to us. And we need to know them. We need to learn how to read the Old Testament Scriptures. We need to learn how to study them. We need to sort through all the things that we really don't like to sort through very much, all the genealogies and all the names and all the locations. And we need to know how to put that all together because it's for our warning, our admonition, our instruction, our training, our doctrine, our salvation, and by extension for us, for our children, and for those they disciple. It is very important. So that is why, I guess that's part one of an introduction to our Sunday night Old Testament preaching and teaching time. It's just so for all of our benefit, I already told you that this is designed to replace what we have been doing in teaching time, so it'll be roughly the same time. There's one other thought I just had. It will be similar to what we have done on what I have been doing on Saturdays and Wednesdays, except that it will be almost exclusively me talking rather than being interactive. There may be some time we reserve the right to have some interaction, but it will be, for the most part, me talking. And otherwise, it'll look very much the same. It's not. It, it, it's probably going to look somewhat different than our morning sermon looks. And I don't know if it felt that way tonight or not. I guess it doesn't really matter. But that's what we're going to continue to do. We're going to continue what we have been doing on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and we're going to do it in the time that we take tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the word. I thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you that through him we have access to the Father. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have access to you, God. You are gracious, you are full of compassion, and you are rich in mercy, and we thank you for that. Amen.